Welcome back, everyone, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. Wait, what episode is it? I actually was going to look to see.
It's episode 20, I think. I think 20? We've hit the big twos now.
Okay. Awesome. Can I redo that intro really quick? Okay. Welcome back, everyone, to the Gaming Careers Podcast. It is our 20th episode, so pretty excited milestone, Pete. Pete, how's it going today, man? How you doing?
Very well, thanks. I think I started the last episode by saying it's really rubbish weather here in the UK and it's snowing all the time, but it's still snowing. It's been basically a week of snow. Nothing that stops you from being able to walk or drive anywhere, really, but enough for it to be a bit annoying when you do have to nip out to the shops and remember your mask and now also your gloves, your hat, maybe some wellies, you know, all of the accessories just to get outside. But yeah, I'm very well, thanks, mate. How are you?
Good, man. I wish we had snow. We had a little bit here, but that was about it. We get like one snow a year in the US here, so not quite as much as you, but doing pretty well. It was a little bit lighter week in terms of news this week, but there were some cool things that happened around the Super Bowl, for example, and some not so cool things that happened on Twitch's side, as always. I think really quickly on the Super Bowl piece, so you guys might have seen last year, there were a couple streamers and gamers who made it into ads for the Super Bowl. I think Tim the Tatman and maybe Ninja were a couple of them. So this year was no different. We had a couple more appear during ads. I think the biggest was probably Nadeshot. He was in a commercial with a couple others. I honestly forget what the brand was that was advertising, but Nadeshot was in it, which was pretty cool. And then there were actually a couple ways that streamers were in the Super Bowl too. There were the cutouts you could do. So Dr. Disrespect and Ninja both got cutouts in the crowd. And I saw a Tim the Tatman ad on Twitter. I don't think it was actually during the game, but it was part of the broader Bud Light campaign. So just cool to see some of the streamers break into more mainstream stuff again this year. And hopefully this trend will continue. I just like seeing who kind of appears each year is like a little contest thing. Did you have a chance to see any of this, Pete?
Yeah, for us that don't follow American football, because, you know, we have our own football over here, American football. The Super Bowl just kind of seems like it's all about the adverts and the halftime show to us. Like, that's all that we, like, I don't even know who won. That's how little interest I have in the Super Bowl. But I always jump onto the internet the next day and there's like the halftime show. I think it was The Weeknd, like, was being memed everywhere. There's this like one scene of him. I think he's like trying to find his way to the stage or something with a camera right in front of him. And it, like, every brand was trying to find a funny way of spinning the meme for themselves. And then, yeah, like, famous people that were spotted in the crowd. And, you know, I always wonder if the people that are behind the production, the people that are trying to find, like, funny shots in the crowd, they probably want to put people like Dr. Disrespect's cutout in there because they know that that's then going to blow up on Twitter and then it gets more impressions. And, like, you know, that's kind of what their job is. Rather than being like, oh, we randomly saw Dr. Disrespect in the crowd. Like, it's probably planned, or at least I think it is personally from a more cynical point of view, maybe.
Yeah, I think it probably is to a degree. So I'm the same way. I actually am not a huge sports fan at all, but I just like watching the ads each year and see who kind of makes it in and which brands. There's always like a competition to see which brand wins the ads on the Super Bowl stuff. So that was kind of always fun to see. But it was like $100 to get your cutout in the crowd. And I think those are the only two that I saw. There might have been more. I think like Tfue was actually at the Super Bowl or something, but didn't really make an appearance of any kind. So just kind of cool to see. And I think big props to Nadeshot for being in the ad. That's always pretty cool. And I think we'll see that ad going even after the Super Bowl. So just cool to see streamers break out like that. And so I'm excited to see more of that for next year, hopefully, even if the Super Bowl itself wasn't as interesting as the actual ads going on during it. Besides that, we have a couple other things to talk about this week. Probably the biggest one to follow up on last week was the embedded Twitch experience issues that have been going on for the purple screen of death you might have seen going around. So basically, Twitch has been continuing to cause problems for embed players, whether it's on a website or it looks like even in games sometimes. I saw issues with the Rust in game or PUBG something in game where the embed was supposed to be and that was just a purple screen of death. Even on things like, I think the League of Legends site that embeds the official streams is now having the purple screen of death, and just anywhere it's embedded at this point is basically getting blocked, which is just an ongoing problem. And so that's kind of interesting. I don't know. Did you have thoughts on seeing them continue to make this a problem?
Yeah, I mean, this is if we'd given it a little bit more thought last week when we were talking about it, we probably could have come up with some good examples, like the League of Legends website that, like, you know, LOL Esports and Twitch have probably signed a big contract for them to stream all of the, you know, LCS and LEC, all of these big matches that lead up to the Worlds tournament on Twitch. And part of that is that you can watch the streams over on League of Legends website and still have the Twitch embed player there and all the stats and things like that. But of course, if Twitch are trying to push people to stop watching embeds and start watching on the Twitch website, they're going to be affecting like big partners like Riot Games. And like you said, Rust has like an in-game browser where you can see which streamers are playing Rust right now. Of course, mm-hmm. that's also an embed. Basically, whenever you see Twitch not on the Twitch website, that is an embed. So if they're rolling out this purple screen of death everywhere, then it's going to affect a lot of different use cases that maybe we didn't really first appreciate last week when it started coming out. But yeah, no real changes yet. I'm surprised they haven't, you know, toned this one back a little bit, because I really am struggling to see the advantages. This is only a good thing for Twitch, I think, is embeds. And unless, like I said last week, unless there is some big problem that we're not aware of where, you know, maybe view botting or skipping ads or something, like there's some reason why embeds is a different experience. Maybe that could be the case.
Yeah, I think it's probably, this has to get fixed at some point because it feels like an overcorrection. I they probably did not mean to be blocking the streams completely on LoL Esports, I would guess, as that is a partnership. But there's a lot of other examples too of brands that work with Twitch as partners for advertising and things like that, where they're embedding the streams. I know even on like Alienware and Lenovo, like they're taking streams and showing those on the site. So I'm sure those are going to start having issues soon and anywhere it's featured. So this feels to me like an overcorrection and they'll probably dial it back. Same thing with the VPN thing, I would imagine, because I think that's still ongoing where you're shadow banned if you have a VPN. Hopefully that'll be toned back soon. It probably is to combat all of the bot issues, because there definitely are some problems with bots being in the chat and causing inflated view counts and things like that. So I get them wanting to have accurate data for reporting on what the viewership is and the engagement in the chat and things like that. But you have to be careful not to just keep turning people away from other sites and then sort of hamstring their efforts to grow a new user base at the same time. So hopefully we'll see a correction.
What they need to do really is just make the experience on Twitch much better than anywhere else. Like that's kind of what YouTube has done. YouTube's never hamstrung any of their embeds from playing anywhere, but I'm sure they have the same issues of ads not playing in embeds and things like that. But if you just make the experience on Twitch much better than through an embed player, then people are going to make their own decisions. I don't truly believe that there are people watching a Twitch embed that don't know what Twitch is, but maybe there are. Maybe there are some huge websites where people are like, oh, I'm going to go and watch this on HLTV and not understanding that it's a Twitch embed. So yeah, I think there's other ways around it and they're probably doing it the wrong way. And hopefully it gets fixed, because you know, what I could probably see them doing is actually just changing the purple screen of death to be like a friendlier message and to try and lose that saying of it being a purple screen of death. But yeah, I think they're going about it the wrong way, honestly, from my point of view.
Yeah, there was actually a trending tweet that was going on this last week where it was the comparison of Twitch versus YouTube. And it was talking about how they kind of address embedded stuff on the two platforms. And on the one side, it was YouTube saying, like, congrats, you got X, you know, 40% more views off of YouTube this week from embedded players and things like that. And the other side was a partnership rejection email that said, hey, we can't let you into the partnership program because it turns out most of your people are watching embedded and that doesn't really count for us. So just kind of interesting to see the different views of each platform. And it's not like a one-to-one comparison completely, which I kind of get, but still gives you a sense of just YouTube at least is celebrating when you're kind of trying to put your stuff other places and wants you to feature YouTube, whereas Twitch just seems to be cutting back and back and back to Twitch to get you back on the platform. So it worked pretty well for YouTube, I'd have to say. Hopefully Twitch doesn't keep up with this method. But I don't want to dwell on this topic too long. And we talked about last week quite a bit too. There was also a talk last week on the embedded chat in YouTube VODs and also Twitch VODs technically. So like we talked about, a lot of streamers will put their chat, I've done this even, put their chat in your VOD so that for people who can't watch live but want to watch after the fact, you can see kind of the chat's reaction. And I think it makes it a lot more engaging overall. Co brought up the concern that this is actually a copyright issue, similar to DMCA with music. And after doing some more investigation, it does seem like it actually is a cause for copyright concern. Now, that said, it's not quite one-to-one with music, and there's a bit more gray area. The TLDR, after going through with his lawyer, was just, if you want to be absolutely safe, you should take it off, because it is grounds for someone to say, I want to take that VOD down. but it's sort of like at your own individual risk tolerance level. So take that as you will. It kind of seems like the early days of music, to be honest with me, because when we started on Twitch, it was the same thing. Everyone kind of said, like, yeah, you shouldn't use music, but everyone does it anyway. And theoretically, we could get to the same point we're at now with music in the chat experience. I don't think it's quite as severe because there's not a whole industry behind, you know, music versus chat on your stream. But I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
Yeah, it's a really interesting point. And I think when we first covered it last week, the main takeaway was like, we don't want to scare anybody because this is very likely not going to be an issue for the next few years. But with the way that the industry is going, if you want to have this like super clean stream where everything is above law and you're like, you can't get in trouble ever because you own all the rights to the music and you own all the rights for what shows on stream, then yeah, you probably do have to think about showing a user's name on stream if it's, you know, having Twitch chat below your webcam or if it's having subscriber alerts go on. I wonder if we're going to have to start seeing like opt in, opt out sharing in chat. One thing that I did think is like Twitch has kind of implemented this for how they deal with subscriptions. So if you take out alerts, if you take out like Streamlabs and Stream Elements and actually showing on your stream through OBS, somebody subscribing to you, Twitch, when you subscribe to somebody now, gives you the option as to whether or not you want to share it in the Twitch chat. And I wonder if we're going to get to the same point with like Streamlabs and Stream Elements, like when you subscribe, do you want your name to appear on the stream or not? You know, because technically, certainly over in the EU, and somebody pointed out in the YouTube comments this week that like, I can no longer say that I'm in the EU because I'm not in the European Union. We voted to leave, so poor us. So separate country now. But they pointed out that like, you can't really with like GDPR, which is this huge, like, that's basically why whenever you visit a website, you have to agree to allow cookies that track you and things like that if you want to use the website, is basically down to GDPR. So if that becomes a serious enough issue in Twitch streams, then maybe this is going to come to some kind of fruition. I think the real takeaway is CoCarnage, obviously a very big streamer, has basically stopped using on-screen chat from Twitch in his YouTube videos. So that is, if you want to take that bit of info and copy what a very careful big streamer is doing, then yes, you can do the same. But personally, I don't think it's going to be an issue. And hopefully this podcast is running long enough that we can update you as to if that ever changes. But like you said, it's not the music industry behind it. It's like going to be like an individual person that tries to sue somebody for, you know, showing their name on a stream or on a YouTube video. And I just don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, I saw Ko was actually tweeting at Twitch and said, hey, can you guys add this one line to your TOS? Because then I'll be covered if this happens. So I don't know if they'll update the TOS just to cover that little specific issue. But in any case, I'll tell you from my side of it, what I'm probably going to do is when I'm on a brand channel, I'm not going to show the Twitch chat even on the live because I don't want that to become a VOD, essentially, just to be absolutely safe. But on my personal channel, I'm still going to have the chat up there because honestly, the chances of some viewer saying, take that down, is low enough. And then even if they do, I can just delete the VOD. It's not a huge issue. They ask me as long as I actually do it. So that's what I'm going to do. You guys can take your own approach for your own level of risk tolerance, as Ko said, but just a practical guide there. So a couple other things that happened this week. Some of these are not so focused on streaming, but still pretty interesting. One that I saw just this morning was that CD Projekt Red actually had their data hacked and held ransom on Twitter. They kind of released what happened here. So I guess someone logged in, I don't fully understand this to be fully honest with you, but someone logged into their servers and got a lot of their internal data. So things like, I think accounting and like legal stuff and things like that, and got the data and then put a ransom note in there and said, you guys have 48 hours to respond. And I didn't even really see demands, but they actually, CD Projekt released the ransom note to the public to see. And said, like, we're not going to give in to these demands. So just want you guys to be aware of what's happening, which is just unfortunate for this company because they've had so much to deal with the last couple months. And then this is kind of the icing on the top. I think this is personally the best thing they could have done is to release the ransom note, because it wasn't, the thing that's important about this is it was not user data. So as far as they can tell, it wasn't like account info and credit cards and things like that, because that would have been a nightmare. But it seems like it's mostly just internal data. So they kind of just bit the bullet and are releasing it and going to see what happens. And since there's no real threat, it seems like, besides releasing this stuff to media agencies, I don't think it's a huge issue for them, because like no media agency is going to go publish this stuff if they know that someone logged in and you know, hacked into their servers and held them for ransom. No media company is going to be the guy who took that info and put it out there. So
what I've seen is they're also claiming that they got all of the source code for like the few games that they make. So one of the big ones being the unreleased version of Witcher 3. So they're threatening also to release the source code to these games, so people could essentially maybe play an unreleased version of a game, or at least competitors could see like how they're doing certain things. And maybe a lot of that is, you know, private information that they want to keep secret. So that's, I think that's the bigger side of the threat, really. But what I found really funny is, like you said, they shared the ransom note, which is literally like a notepad file where it's been written like it's definitely English isn't their first language, but also kind of like a 12-year-old's written it. You know, you have been epically pwned is the opening sentence to it. And what I'd love to think is that like this actually wasn't the ransom note. The ransom note was really professional, and they were like, CD Projekt Red, we're like, how are we going to get about this? Like, we need to get people on our side. And then there was just some guy in marketing like having to type out like this fake ransom note and thinking it all. But yeah, it probably is the legitimate one. But I think they're doing all they really can do. I've seen that this has happened before. I'm pretty sure it happened to Valve at some point, like during the like Half-Life 3, when's it coming type things, like somebody hacked into the server and found like certain files and released information about, I guess, the VR game it actually ended up being. But yeah, it's something that all companies have to deal with, is making sure that they can keep all these kind of data private. But like you said, since it wasn't user data, I think they've done what they've had to do. And just hope that it doesn't actually come to fruition of them actually losing any revenue, and maybe upgrade their security on all of these files that were so easily taken.
Yeah, clearly they'll have to make some security upgrades if this was able to happen in the first place. But again, I think this is probably the best strategy they could have had, because even if it was the source code and things like that, and you could, you know, this hacker might send it to competitors. Again, the knowledge that this was taken, you know, this was hacked and forced from CD Projekt Red, and that you're going to be the bad guy and publish that info, I just don't think a lot of companies want to take that stance and kind of set themselves up as this evil company, essentially. So I think they were pretty smart in doing this, because if they hadn't released it and then this stuff had just leaked out normally, and they hadn't put out the ransom note, people would have said, oh, like, look at this leak, how did this happen, that kind of thing. But now they know the story behind it, and they're actually just, you know, a bad actor and someone holding them ransom, then they're not going to care as much if that happens and be more understanding. So it might seem like I can't believe they've done this, but I think it's actually the smartest thing they could do. So pretty interesting. But hopefully, yeah, it doesn't actually come out, and you know, they're able to take care of this situation pretty effectively shortly. We also had a viewer question. Do you want to cover that potentially?
You're giving me this because you know that there's no chance I'm going to be able to get the username right, aren't you? Yeah, we did. We got a viewer question again. Thanks so much for everybody that's sending in their questions. Obviously, we're just like choosing one to discuss each episode, but it's great when we get a handful to choose from. So Argavaxavaga, I'm not going to try it again, but I probably have butchered it, has asked, what do you think of if Twitch let users pay for higher bitrate options or transcoding? Could it be a win-win for both Twitch and the person paying? So I guess this is an interesting question, really, because we've talked quite a lot about how Twitch probably has some pressure from Amazon to make money, and that's why we've seen an increase in ads, and probably why we're seeing like the purple screen of death and trying to get more people on platform. So is there any room for Twitch to actually sell like a pro version for the streamer where they get higher bitrate options? You know, the user who asked the question was talking about like 8K bitrates. So basically like partner versions of bitrate and transcoding. And then their streamers can, the viewers can obviously enjoy a higher quality in transcoding.
Yeah, this is a good question. I think conceptually, this sounds pretty cool. One quick thing, I think you can already get to 8K bitrate as an affiliate, I'm pretty sure. It's the transcoding piece that's not guaranteed, though. So even though you can hit 8K bitrate, it's not usually recommended, because if you're an affiliate, you don't have transcoding most of the time. So people can't watch that a lot of times. In terms of transcoding, though, if you could pay and have a guaranteed transcoding on your stream, essentially, as just any streamer, if you wanted to kind of start out and set yourself up for success, I think it sounds like a really cool idea. What I don't know is like how realistic it is for Twitch to do this, because they'd have to test like how popular it would be, what the stress in the servers would be. That's the big reason there isn't transcoding for everybody, is because of server stress, to my understanding. So it would kind of depend, I think, on a lot of things. If it's a small streamer and no one's watching that person, then Twitch probably doesn't care because they're not really putting that much stress on the servers if no one's using the transcoding options. But if it's kind of an intermediate streamer and that, you know, there's a lot of intermediate streamers and then that number of viewers tends to pile up and higher, then it becomes an issue for them. So I personally like the idea because it seems like a smarter monetization idea than just adding more ads. And maybe they could just switch that model so that there's fewer ads and they make more of their money this way and with other kind of streamer plus features or something. But it really kind of depends on what Twitch can do with their servers. I don't know. What do you think, Pete?
I think it depends on why you would want it as a viewer. If you want it for transcoding, then you kind of have to think about how big is your stream. Because right now, yeah, like you said, all partners get transcoding and affiliates is just sorted by number of viewers, I think. So like they have a certain amount of streams that they can transcode, and depending on where you are in that viewer list, you will get transcoding or you won't. Out of interest, like when do you stream? What's your kind of average numbers and do you get transcoding or not? Because it's been a long time since I have seen whether or not I get transcoding.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I don't check how often I get transcoding, so I don't have a great sense on it. But I do usually stream pretty high on the bitrate, like 6,000 to 7,000. And I know there are probably some people who are impacted that by that because, you know, I'm probably 10 to 20 most of the time when I'm casually streaming my personal.
I feel like that is high enough though. I feel like, or at least if I remember rightly, it's like around the 20 to 30 viewer threshold is when people usually get transcoding given to them. And obviously transcoding is great because it allows you to basically stream to anybody. If somebody's watching on 4G on their phone, like they'll be able to watch a 480p version of your 1080p stream or whatever it is. But like from Twitch's point of view, if they're having to transcode the video, maybe it's actually quite expensive to do per stream. And so even if they were charging somebody for it, like, you know, $5 a month, or it might not be worth it from their point of view, because they have to then provide those quality options even when somebody has very few viewers. So I feel like it would go hand in hand with them also upping the requirement, like the viewer requirement to get transcoding, because they'd need to be able to hit a lot of people in that sort of 10 to 50 viewer range to be able to make it profitable. Whereas like if you're sub 10 viewers, like you might think that that could be a reason behind you not growing, is the fact that you can't stream at 8K bitrate or because you don't get transcoding. But I think it's probably unlikely that that's the reason that you haven't got 10 viewers, if you understand.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things here. They could remove the ability for affiliates to get transcoding as a default option and just make it a paid feature for affiliates and then still guarantee to partners. That would feel kind of bad for some affiliates, I would guess, but it might be a better revenue stream for them. And the other thing they could do is just set the price of it relative to how much it costs them per stream, essentially. So it might be kind of expensive for people, but my guess is there are still some streamers who would be willing to kind of bite that if they knew for sure they were always getting transcoding and could just stream at 8,000 bitrate the entire time. I think that probably still be worth it for some people. Plus, there might be some people who want to start streaming and this is just one of the things that they get because they feel like they have to have this. And maybe that's like a little bit of a trap from Twitch, so maybe it doesn't feel good to market, but I still think there'd be a lot of people who would buy this and then never actually use it that much, just like any other subscription, essentially. So I think it could work for Twitch. I don't know if they would be willing to try it, because it'd definitely be a feature they'd have to test and iterate on the price and kind of how scalable it is, but I like the idea of it a lot personally. I would probably get it if there were an option for this personally.
I think if they bundled it in with some other features, I could see it working. Like if there was, you know, you could stream at 4K or, I don't know, 10K bitrate, or you could use, you know, like certain music on your stream. Like if they put this all into like a, I don't want to say Prime because I know that Amazon Prime, but like, and Twitch Prime already means something, but if there was like an advanced thing that you could pay for and it was a bunch of features and it was a much better experience for the streamer and for the viewers, and like I could see that being relatively popular, but like you say, it's difficult for them to like step backwards and go, okay, we're going to remove transcoding for all affiliates. If you want it, you're gonna have to pay for it. Like that's an absolute PR disaster. We would absolutely rip them to shreds on this podcast if they suddenly did that. So it's a really interesting point, and I think like it's probably not too unrealistic to think that at some point Twitch is going to have something that they charge streamers for, rather than it all being free. But who knows, the competition from YouTube being so strong right now, maybe they're just like trying to make the experience as good as possible for streamers on either platform.
Yeah, I think like you've mentioned, it could be cool if it was bundled in with other features too. So it's like a streamer plus package of some kind. I already am kind of hesitant about that though, because it also feels like it's just a marketing thing. And we've grilled Twitch in the past for things like the Monster Cat Gold issue and trying to make it seem like you have to pay to win sort of on Twitch, when, you know, if they did do this, there'd be so many streamers who would say, you don't need transcoding to grow on Twitch and just wait to get partner. And so it's hard to say. I mean, if they can make it a really good value for people and legitimately tested it and it was received well, then sure. But they had to be very careful, I think, for any new features like this at this point, because there have been so many issues in the past.
But like, actually imagine if you could stream 10K bitrate or 15K bitrate. You know, like the YouTube has an unlimited cap, so you don't really have to imagine too hard. You just have to change some options in OBS to stream to YouTube instead. But like, I could see even partner streamers being like, you know, people sitting around like 200 to 500 viewers, for example, being like, this could be a differentiating factor. Like, I've got internet that's good enough to stream at 20 megabits per second. Like, why don't I actually do that and have a super high quality 144 FPS stream or something, you know? Like, all these questions around quality, I think we're going to see come to fruition when new codecs come out, basically. And now that NVIDIA is working hard to put the AV1 codec decoding options into their graphics cards, then we could see that in the future. But this has been a good question. I think it's got us talking, which is really what we want from questions like this. But it's an interesting point of view that I haven't really thought about smaller streamers wanting higher bitrate options and choosing to stream at a lower bitrate just purely because they don't get transcoding yet, which is the right thing to do. Like 100%, you should be trying to appeal to as many people as possible when you're a small streamer. So don't go streaming at 8K bitrate when, you know, somebody might be tuning in on their phone and they're just going to keep getting buffering stream because you don't have transcoding.
Yep, I totally agree. It's been a really good question. I like the idea of it a lot. I hope that this kind of naturally happens as YouTube continues to be a player this year with clips coming in and, like you said, just much better bitrate and transcoding options on YouTube. I hope they just keep exerting pressure on Twitch, essentially, where they kind of have to up their bitrate or add transcoding to more streams, so this doesn't even have to be a feature. But I don't know, because Twitch has had their own server issues this year, so if they try to add more transcoding and things, that could just cause more issues. So we'll have to see. But yeah, great question, Agavaxavaga. Did I say that right? Hopefully.
Okay, maybe that's the deal. It's like, if we get a hard name, we both have to pronounce it at some point.
Yeah. And see who, tell us who pronounced it right, Aga.
Well, you got to hear me blundle my way through it, you know, like reading it letter by letter. But yeah, I think you probably did a better job. But yeah, thanks so much for the question. And as always, anybody listening, if you want to submit a question for us to do, we're going to sort of round off the podcast each week with a question from a viewer. So hit either Ben or I up on Twitter, Instagram, or in the YouTube comments to the podcasts. We check all of those before we go live and we pick one from the hat there. So thanks so much for the question. I think that's probably going to wrap it up. It was quite a light week on streaming news, but the week before we had an absolute load of news to get through. So it just seems to be like that's the case. Some weeks we'll have loads, some weeks we'll have less. But when we get good questions like that, we can always dive in for 10, 15 minutes, can't we?
Yep, absolutely. Those are great questions. So keep this coming, whether it's on Twitter, YouTube, Spotify doesn't have any comments, but Stitcher does. So wherever you want to leave a comment or a question, let us know, guys. Love to go through some of those in the future as well.
Okay, awesome. Right. Well, that'll do it for episode 20. We'll see you next Wednesday for episode 21. Thanks so much for joining me, Ben, as always, even though you've kind of hosted this one more than I have. We will catch you guys in the next episode. Peace.
See you guys.